It might be pretty simple. In fact, it won't even be up here on the screen. And so hopefully you have a Bible. Grab one from the pews there, whatever. But we know that this week starts a new season, a new year, 2019. But I think more than a new year, as we have been going through our study of the Bible, and we just wrapped up in our study of Revelation, I think more than any other time we see that we are moving closer and closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus. And even whenever that is, and we don't know when that is, and we don't try and put a date on it, just like the Bible says, no man can know the day or hour. We can see the season. It says you can look around and you can read, just as a sailor can read the sky and a farmer can read the leaves and the growth. We know the season is near. And so we do know that it is close. We don't know when it is, but no matter when the coming of our Lord is, we know that we are all one step closer to meeting him. Because no matter what, we're all a day closer to our own home going, whether it's through death, rapture, or however God takes us. So we know that we are coming into that end time that we are facing. And so I believe more than anything, we are entering into just a new season that we are going to face. And the problem is when we enter these new seasons, many times we don't think about it. We don't prepare ourselves for it. And I think God is calling us to begin to prepare ourselves. Because many times we miss opportunities and we are not as powerful and productive and even influential in this world the way we should be. We should be lights, we should be salt in this world, and I think the reason we're not is because we don't prepare ourselves to be that way. So that when things happen, when things come our way, when our life takes the twists and turns that it takes, we simply respond, and we simply kind of just go with the motion, and hopefully we just do the best that we can. And yet that's not what God has called us to. I think God has called us to begin to prepare for those things. I've seen time and time again, people go through life and things will happen and they just struggle with it. Whether it is a hurt or whether it is a downturn in their lifestyle or whatever. And it seems like, you know, many of the prayer requests that we have is it's because, you know, this has happened to me and God, I just need you to pray with me to help me through it. Well, the Bible itself tells us that we're going to face these things. The Bible tells us that we're going to be offended. The Bible tells us that people are going to hurt us. The Bible tells us that we are going to go through loss, that it's not going to be prospering all the time. And so we should be prepared for it. And so many times I see people that are so hurt, but like, didn't you think that that would happen? Why are we not strong in the Lord? Why are we not, when those things happen, you know what? It happens, I deal with it, but praise God, I'm going to be just as victorious in God, and it's not going to change who I am. We should not be people who are knocked down and not able to even function in the way that God wants us to because of what's happening around us. And I think that happens to us because we don't prepare ourselves. And so when things like cancer hits, or when relationships fall apart, or when we lose a job, it's almost like, what do I do now? Instead of saying, that's going to happen at some point. So when it does, I know that God's going to be my strength. You see, if you've already made your mind up, if you've already prepared yourself and set your heart to it, then when it happens, okay, now's the time. I knew, you know, it's not that we look forward to it. It's not that we long for those times. But we need to prepare ourselves for this season. I believe we're coming into a season, and we see it to where we are going to be tested. Our faith is under attack. It is under attack by Satan. It's under attack by this world. It's also under attack by our own flesh. And so we are entering a season, and I want to begin to just open our eyes and understand. And it's not something to get down about, oh, great, that's a bummer. I got to look forward to this. I believe sometimes testing comes through prosperity. Some of you may be tested this year through prosperity. And we say, oh, that's the kind of testing I want. But don't raise your hand too quickly, because I've seen more Christians fall away from God in prosperity than in trial. So we need to prepare ourselves for that. Are you willing to prepare yourself that if those things do happen, I am going to learn to stay humble, to be sacrificial, to be generous rather than hoarding, and to get focused on myself even in that time? So whether it is suffering or whether it is prospering, I believe we're entering into a season of testing. And so I want to go to two scriptures today, and you can open those up in your Bible. First of all, we're going to be in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. And then the scripture that we're going to kind of break down over the next 3 or 4 weeks is going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, so you can put your thumb in Hebrews chapter 12 and then turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. So let's begin in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to pick up in verse 3. Now, Peter is writing this to the new church, the early church, to the church that has now been spread into all different areas, because they were entering into a new season. I think this is why it is speaking to us, because we, I think, are entering into that place. We are going to face persecution. We already see, even in our own nation, America is no longer a Christian nation, that we face opposition, we face ridicule, we face scorn. Even from the church, we face compromise. Don't stand so hard for this. Just learn to tolerate. There's a danger in that. So we face this pressure to give in. We face this pressure. And so we are entering into a new season in our life as Christians. And Peter was writing to the church who also was facing these things. And this is what he says. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, and it is reserved in heaven for you. For us who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter says, God has done such a great thing for you. He has, through his death and resurrection, do you realize that you have been abundantly blessed, that you have been brought into a promise that is greater than you can ever imagine? You have been adopted into the greatest family, and because of it, you have an inheritance. You have a future that is beyond compare. And God has set this aside for you, and no one can take it away from you. This is the awesome gift that God has given us. But it says in this, in verse 6, we greatly rejoice. Though, here's the but, now for a little while, if need be, you are grieved by various trials. And these things happen that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, it may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving at the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He says, there is something great that God has purchased for you, but it is in heaven waiting for you. But for now, for a little while, you are about to enter into a season of testing. And some of it is going to be grievous, and some of it is going to be hard, but it says it will be a refining circumstance in your life that will make your faith more precious than gold. It will also reveal your faith so that your faith will not just lift you up, but that it will glorify God and honor him when he is revealed. So we are about to enter a season. I believe as we start this new year, we need to set our minds that, you know what, for now we may be entering into a time that even though we are saved, we are set apart, there's a time of testing. And this testing, through whatever means we are going to go through, it is going to be testing our faith. So are you ready to prepare your faith that it may be tested to glorify God and not us? What will our faith reveal? Will our faith reveal that we believed in Jesus to get what we wanted, but we did not believe in Jesus in the sense that we are willing to lay down our life that he may be glorified? You see, there's a difference of those faiths. Some of us have faith to receive what we want, and some of us have faith to realize that we've already received it, so therefore this life is to be laid down. This life is not for grasping at things, but this life is that everything I do, may it bring glory to God. If it means I am crushed by this world, if it means I have to sacrifice things, may it be glorifying to God. So as we prepare our life for this season, how do we prepare ourselves? If we go over to Hebrews chapter 12, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it just spoke of people that had already gone through seasons like that. It speaks of the heroes of faith who had gone through seasons of testing, and their faith had been proven faithful and worthy. And their faith had shown the glory of God. And you can read the stories and the mentions of them in chapter 11. But here's the thing. Now it's our turn. And so in chapter 12, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, in other words, because we are surrounded by those that have gone before us, they are not with us, but they oversee us. We now pick up the baton and we are the next generation that are shining for Christ. It is our turn now. So therefore, since we are surrounded by those that have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. These two verses, I believe, gives us an outline and a compulsion of what we are to do to get ready as we enter into this new season. As we enter into this new season of testing, in whatever form it may take, we need to begin to follow this outline of entering into this new season. Are we going to prepare ourselves for the new season we are about to face? I think we need to go into it with eyes open. We need to go into it understanding that we're going to face some things. But let's not wait till they happen and then figure out how to respond. Let's right now begin to prepare ourselves that no matter what happens, I'm prepared. That whatever God sends my way, God, I want you to make me ready for it. I want to respond in a way that I don't have to get something at the last second. See, that was exactly the problem in the story that Jesus told. And we know the story that he talked about. There was 10 virgins. And they were all waiting for the wedding party. And as they were waiting, night came and they were waiting for the groom to come. And he was delayed. He didn't come right away. And it says that 5 of the virgins, they had plenty of oil. They were prepared. But 5 virgins, they ran out of oil. And it's not that they didn't want to be there, but at the last second, they had to go back into town to get oil. The problem was that while they were gone, the bridegroom came. The 5 that were ready went in with him into the celebration. And when the five returned, it was too late. You see, don't wait till the time comes and then I'll do something. Because sometimes it's too late. We need to be prepared ahead of time. So what's the first thing that we need to do? It says, since we are surrounded by these witnesses, we're entering into this new season, the very first thing that I want to look at this week, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The first thing that we need to do as we enter into this new season is we need to ask ourselves, what is it in my life that is hindering me? I need to right now prepare myself by letting some things go. There are some things that I need to get rid of in my life. Not that they're bad. It says some of them are not even sin. But you know what? They're not necessary. And it, in fact, it is something that is holding me back. We need to prepare ourselves by beginning to lessen the weight in our life. If you've ever done a race or even a sport or anything in which you are competing, when you are trying to perform and you have a bunch of unnecessary stuff, it becomes frustrating. It becomes inhibiting to the point to where it can even be dangerous. And I know for me in running, especially in longer distances, man, I want the least amount of stuff on that is going to tangle me up, that is carrying. Because when I get tired, I don't want to have these weights. I don't want to have jackets and shirts and stuff that just weigh us down. We need to begin to get rid of those things in our life. And the thing is, spiritually, and in our life emotionally, and even physically, we forget that, and we just let things build up within us so that when we are called upon and we have to move quickly, or we have to respond and do battle with something, all of a sudden, it becomes frustrating and it becomes hard, and we are not able to do it because we have all this baggage. And the baggage keeps us from responding in a way that would be productive. So what are the things that we need to let go of? What are the weights and the sins? Some of it is sin. Some of us, there are sins that we need to let go of, that we have hidden, that are small, that maybe we think, you know, are just something that doesn't matter. And yet those small things, you know, the small things you don't notice all the time until something happens or when you get tired and all of a sudden that small thing, you know, there can be a small rock in your shoe that you don't notice walking around until after about 3 miles. That small rock now feels like a nail going into your foot. And so let's get those small things out of the way before it becomes a pain and it becomes something that holds us back. So what are the things that we need to get rid of to prepare for this year? I want to go back to 1 Peter. If we go back to 1 Peter, I believe that Peter gives us a prescription of things that we need to get rid of in our life, we need to take inventory of. If we go down to, we're still in chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 13. It says, therefore, and that therefore says, because we are going to enter into this new season, because there's going to be testing of our faith, because God is looking to see how we are going to reveal our true commitment to Him, our devotion to Him, therefore, the first thing it says is gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. The first thing that we need to begin to clean out is our mind. And that that word there, gird up the loins of your mind, it is the word there in Greek is a picture of getting ready. And it is the girding up is a tying. And back in that day, they wore long robes. And what they would do is when something happened and they had to move quickly, they would take a sash or a rope, and they would pull the robes up and they would cinch it together, tie it together, and tuck it in so that it is no longer flowing or hanging down. It is tied tightly, it is in control, and it is held firmly so that they can move without being caught up. So it says, with your mind, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, we need to tighten up our thought process. We need to take control of the things that we think about. The first thing to prepare as we enter into this new season is you need to begin to decide, there are things that I am going to clean out in my mind. What are we allowing to come into our mind? What is it that we think on that is not helpful to our walk with God? There are things that we continue to think about that I'm telling you, you may not notice it now, it doesn't bother you, but as you enter into things that are going to come our way, they may be the very thoughts that trip us up. Because when that testing comes, those thoughts are going to become our fallback. They are going to be the things that we have built our life upon. And they may crumble at the storm. So we need to begin to say, what are we thinking about? What are we letting in our mind? Are we focusing on hurts? Do we focus on what other people have done? Do we focus on criticalness? Are we negative about everything? And I know it's so easy because we live in a world of cynicism. We live in a world where everything is negative about everyone else. Everything is about judgmental and criticalness. And I'm telling you, we need to clear our minds of judgmentalism. We need to clear our minds of focusing on everything that is wrong. You see, the problem from the very beginning with Adam and Eve is they had everything in the garden, and yet what was they thinking of? The only thing that Satan got them to think about is think about what you don't have. Think about what's wrong. And if we let those type of thoughts flow in our mind, that we're always thinking about what the other person did and how that hurt me, and then you are going to always respond in the wrong way. The love of God is not going to be your response. It is always going to be in suspicion or in bitterness or in unforgiveness. We need to begin to clear our minds of those things that bring us to focus on ourselves. And negative thoughts are always prideful thoughts. They're always things that lift us up. We need to clear ourselves of how we think of others. This is why Jesus said we need to learn to love our enemies. Yes, they may be wrong, but you can choose not to view those things. You can choose not to think on those things, because if Christ had done that, he wouldn't have died for you. See, we need to have the mind of Christ, that even though other people do things, that we are able to say, like Jesus, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I give them the benefit of the doubt. I am going to choose to not think on those things. We need to begin to clean those type of thoughts out. We need to clean out the thoughts that poison us. Because I'm telling you, when we come to a point of crisis, those thoughts will trip us up every time. And we don't justify them. Well, but they're right. They may be right, but they're not good. And I'm going to choose what's good for me. I don't care whether it's right or wrong. In Philippians, it tells us, think on these things. Think whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is holy, whatever is of good repute. Find that and you think about that. Because in every situation, God is doing something and I can choose to think on those things. We've got to gird up the loins of our mind. In other words, we take control of it. Many of us say, well, I can't help it. It just comes to my mind. That's okay if it comes to your mind, but I can choose to say, but that's wrong. I can choose to be critical of myself and say, you know what? I should not be thinking that. I'm going to choose not to. And even though my emotion wants to, I'm going to choose to fight against that. We love to doubt things, but here's the thing to doubt. Doubt your doubt. When those doubts come, say, you know what? I don't believe that. I'm going to choose to gird up or take control, tighten up my thinking. Don't let your mind just wander into areas that just build anxiety and they just let the enemy come in and continue to chip away at your faith. Take control of your thoughts. In the Bible, it says, take every thought captive unto the knowledge of Jesus. In other words, compare everything to what you know about Jesus. If you think about that, you think about, how does that affect Jesus in my life? When you begin to cut away those things, I'm going to tell you, it will free you up. When you, first of all, just take control of your mind, that is the first major step. The second thing it says, gird up the loins of your mind. It says, be sober. In other words, we need to begin to start to understand what God wants and be people of soberness. We're not frivolous. We're not caught up just in pleasure, but that we are willing to be sober, which means we look ahead and we begin to put our life in a sense that I'm going to accomplish what God has for me. I'm determined. I'm focused. To be sober is to be focused. That I have a purpose. That God has purchased me for a reason. I have a race before me. And so I begin to put myself forward and prepare myself. See, too many times we don't begin to set ourselves in a way that we can be used by God because we don't even look forward. We are not sober in what God has called us to. Not only that, but it says, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the second thing in our mind, it's the focus of our mind, but the second thing, it's our desires. It says, rest your hope fully on what Christ is coming to bring you. See, too many times, here's what trips us up. All of our goals and our dreams are focused on the things of this life. We've got to begin to cut that away. If all of your value and your identity is based on this world and what this world can give you, you will never succeed. It will be easy to trip you up because your hopes are based on this world. It says if we are to cut away things that trip us up, we need to put our hope fully on what Christ has offered. The treasure of our life, the treasure of who I am, is not based on this world, but it is based on what Jesus is bringing me and what I am looking forward to in my future. So I've got to cut away those dreams. And that sounds bad. It says, you know, I got to get rid of dreams. I got to get rid of my own desires. How do I do that? If we will begin to put our full hope that everything I live for is for what God is going to do, then he is going to give us dreams along the way that will bring us to that which he has planned. This is why the Bible says that if we will delight ourselves in the Lord, in other words, if he becomes everything I want, it says then he will give us the desires of our heart. He will give you new desires that, yes, there are things in this life that we can enjoy if our true desire is on glorifying God. It is on one day seeing him. That is what I live for. I just want to be ready when he comes. That's the whole hope of my life. If that's the whole hope of my life, here's the good thing that God does. He will give you desires that will build that hope. He will give you desires in your career, in your workplace, in your home, in your family, if your hope is rested fully on him. That is the thing that the world does not understand. No, if you're going to be happy, you need to desire things in this world. You have to have dreams of this world. And God says, no, it's just the opposite. You need to let go of scrambling to get everything that you can get in this life. It is when you give up your life, Jesus said, is when you find it. You will actually find life if you begin to say, God, I want you and you alone, because here's the great thing. Then he starts to give you the desires of your heart. He will then lead you down the path that he desires. But we have got to cut away those desires that pull us away from God. Those dreams, those priorities. So you need to ask yourself, what is it that I am living for? What is my desire that everything that I do revolves around it? When I make decisions, you know, I'm always thinking, well, how is that going to affect this? Is this going to mean that I don't get to do this? And so therefore, many times we don't choose what God has because that might cut into what our real dream is. Our definition of the quality of my life needs to be this place, and I will not go beyond it. Then what we're doing is we are pushing God out of our life. We are putting God only in a small box where he says, you need to place your hope fully on Christ. And when you do that, you will cut away things that are only holding you back. What are the dreams of our life? What are our hopes? What are our definitions of ourself? Verse 14, it says, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. The final thing that we need to begin to cut away in our life is those areas of conduct that are not obedient to what God wants. So we need to begin to clear out our mind. We need to clear out our desires. And finally, we need to clear out our lifestyle. How are we living in such a way that glorifies our lusts, our pleasures, or are we living in such a way, are we conducting ourselves in such a way that we are living to glorify God? It says, you are called to be holy like God was holy. Now, that doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean super spiritual where other people can't even stand being around you because you're just self-righteous. The word holy there simply means set apart. It means I'm clearing my life out and I'm going to live in such a way that my lifestyle, my actions glorify God, that I'm going to purify myself, that I'm no longer going to walk according to the lusts of my heart. That means my decisions, my choices are not based on how it affects me, but it's based on how it affects God. We need to begin to look at our actions. Are there actions in our life that keep us from getting closer to God? They may be good activities. They may be things that are not sinful, but they are created by God. You know, there are a lot of things in life that God wants us to enjoy. Music, friends, education, work, sports. But all of those things can become idols. Every one of those things can become weights in our life if we begin to let them be the focus of our conduct. But Jesus says, if we will live in a holy way, in other words, I set myself apart that God, whatever I do, I want it to be glorifying to you. Then, whatever he brings along our path, he gives us those things. We live in such a way that they don't hold us back from getting closer to God. And when that happens, when we cut that tie to them, even though we enjoy it in our life, whenever there comes a point and a choice, it is easy to let that go because God is first. See, it becomes a clear delineation of what is important in our life. And the conduct of our life will show that. The priorities of our life, the schedule of our life will show that. Because, God, I serve you and I will live for you. And whenever you give me the opportunity to enjoy those things, then I will enjoy those. But any other time, in a second, I will put that away for you. Because my main place and decision is to live for God, to glorify God. I don't want to live in ignorance, it says. You see, when we lived in ignorance without God, then everything we did was to provide those things for us, because those were the very source of our pleasure, of our lusts, and our identity of who we are. So we need to look at our habits. We need to look at how we spend our time. We need to look at how we spend our money. We need to look at how we spend our influence, our relationships. Are we conducting ourselves in holiness? And again, holiness means that I consciously choose my actions in such a way that will glorify God. And as we begin to do those things, it begins to cut away things in our life. There is going to be sacrifices. But I'm going to tell you, if we are going to prepare ourselves for this season to come, I am telling you, these decisions, although they seem hard, they will prepare you. When the crisis comes, you will be glad that you had already cut those ties. You see, if you have these actions in your life, if you have these thoughts in your life, if you have your dreams, these dreams in your life, when the crisis comes, you're not going to be able to cut those ties and free yourself up. It is only if you've already done that, when the crisis comes, you will be glad that I am not tied down by those things, but I can freely respond to this crisis. When I lose my job, it's no big deal, because I wasn't tied to that anyway. I have already cut myself from that. I'm going to do the best I can while I'm in it, but I'm prepared, because that's not what I'm tied to. You see, if we prepare ourselves by beginning to clean things out of our life, when we walk through the testing times, it says that we will shine as a glory to God. People will see that in us. We will be prepared to give a response for why we have hope in this world. So are we preparing ourselves for this coming season? As we enter this new season, I want to encourage you. Let's take inventory of our mind. Let's begin to take control of our thoughts and how we are thinking. Let's take inventory of our dreams and our desires. Where is your heart? Where do you, and this takes real investigation, because sometimes we don't want to see it in ourselves. What is your real love? Is it really God, or is it other things? Let's clear those other things out. And then let's look at our lifestyle. Let's look at how we are daily living our life. Are those things beneficial to us? Do we need to clear time to spend time in the Word? Do we need to clear time to spend time in prayer? Do we need to clear time to make sure we come together? Sometimes that's the third thing, is kind of give and take. Coming together is kind of an optional. You do know that in the early church, they did not see that as optional. It was just as important as Bible reading, as scripture reading. Coming together is a foundational anchor to our Christian faith. It is not just some optional thing. We are strengthened when we come together as the body. So is our lifestyle making room for that? Maybe we need to cut out some things that keeps us from coming together. As we begin to cut these things off, as we begin to cut away the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, then we're going to be able to run. We're going to be able to meet the trial, to meet the things of this life, and still survive and say, God, I was ready. And God, I pray that my faith will be shown to be precious to the honor of God. Let's bow our hearts.